Hi, this is Gary Brumbelow, pastor of Troutdale Community Church. Thanks for clicking to listen to this sermon. We place a high value on the scripture. May God use what you hear to meet a need in your life today. Thank you for listening.
Gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thank you, Lord.
If you have your Bibles, you'll want to stay in that passage there in Colossians 3. And I just can't believe that Thanksgiving is already here. that means right around the corner is Christmas and then New Year's, and we start all over again. It just comes so quickly. Well, the theme for this morning is possessing a thankful attitude is pleasing to God, is directed to God and one another, and resets our perspective. Now, as I'm thinking about Thanksgiving, I think of a story with regard to my family, and I think of my father, because there was something that happened in the family in regard to Thanksgiving. They had a debate going, and it got a bit intense. It was a debate that my dad was having with his sister, it would be my Aunt Ethel. And the debate was that Aunt Ethel made the claim that there's no difference between a yam and a sweet potato, okay? And so this really incited my dad, because he kept telling her there is a difference between a yam and a sweet potato. And she said, no, there isn't. And my Aunt Ethel was kind of a know-it-all, I have to confess, and there were a lot of other stories I could share with you. Well, my dad, not taking this lightly, because my aunt lived clear back in Nashville, Tennessee, she goes back to Nashville, and my dad pursues this and sent her in the mail a yam and a sweet potato, and had them marked, I think, with a permanent marker so she could know the difference between a yam and sweet potato. And by the way, the difference, yams are orange, a little sweeter. Sweet potatoes are yellow, a little more mellow. So there you go. So we're thinking of Thanksgiving, and we think of the word thanks. We think of the word giving thanks. We think of Thanksgiving. We think of thankful. Consider this very important word, this very important concept, the word thanks. Words that are synonymous with this word are such words as appreciation, or gratitude, or being grateful. Webster's Dictionary says to show or express appreciation or gratitude to, as by saying thank you. Thanks. It is an attitude that is commonly expressed to another. In the scripture, this word, or the derivations of it, are used by the saints to verbalize our appreciation, our gratitude to God. Beloved, it is almost an understatement to say that our thanks, our deep gratitude, our deep appreciation is an appropriate response to God. Simply consider all that has come to us from the Heavenly Father regarding all that His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has accomplished on our behalf. And so we come to the Old Testament and we think about this word thanks. How is the word thanks used in the Old Testament? Due to the issue of time, we'll look at a small sample of verses in the Psalms regarding this word. So here's a summary. The Psalms develop in a poetic and beautiful manner the concept of giving thanks. It unfolds and reveals to us the many pertinent issues and areas whereby the giving of thanks is appropriate, and it encourages our heart, mind, and soul. It also resets our perspective with a proper focus when we may be tempted to wander into the realm of whining, complaining, and grumbling. When thanks is given in the Psalms, the expression of praise is just around the corner. Praise is the constant companion of giving thanks in the Psalms. Another fact that we will notice is that the object of expression of thanks is God. The psalmist gives thanks to God, and it will relate to an attribute of his character or his deed His deeds, His works are His word. And then the psalmist simply can't help himself. He will start breaking out in praise that is directed to the Lord. Now here's the thing. The giving of thanks can be a very private matter. And the giving of thanks can be a very public matter. I can thank God in the privacy of my office at home in my prayer time, and so can you. Not so. Not so with praise. The context of praise is always in a corporate setting. Thanksgiving and praise are an opportunity for us to testify of God's character, His word, and His works. Amen. And you will have that opportunity today. So let's go to the Psalms and just see this at work. So we're going to the Psalms and we're just engaging with this concept of thanksgiving. Psalm 7:17. I will give thanks to the Lord according to His righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Most High. The psalmist is giving thanks to the Lord regarding the Lord's righteousness. It relates to His character. Psalm 9:1. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, and I will tell of Thy wonders. So giving of thanks engages the heart. And the psalmist, as he gives thanks to the Lord, he's considering the wonders. He's considering the miracles of God. And maybe you have some miracles to share with us today. In Psalm 92, 1 and 2, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Thy name. There it is. The psalmist starts with giving thanks. Oh, it's good to give thanks to the Lord. And then he just can't help himself. What happens? Well, he begins to sing praises to the name of the Most High, and it's in a corporate setting. To declare Thy loving kindness in the morning. To declare Thy loving kindness in the morning when the day begins, and Thy faithfulness at night when the day comes to a close. Once again, it's good to give thanks. It breaks out in praise. It's a corporate setting, and it's an appropriate way for us to show appreciation and gratitude. And from the psalmist, he thinks about the character of God and His works, His loving kindness, His faithfulness. Psalm 105:1, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Once again, giving thanks and contemplating the deeds or the works of God. He is the object of our thanks. He is the object of our praise. Psalm 118:29, verses 28 and 29, I shall give thanks to Thee, for Thou hast answered me, and Thou hast become my salvation. Thou art my God, and I give thanks to Thee. Thou art my God, I extol Thee. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His loving kindness is everlasting. So the psalmist is giving thanks because God has answered him over a concern or a prayer. And the psalmist realizes that God is his salvation. He gives thanks to the Lord for this. He extols the Lord. He gives thanks. He gives thanks to the Lord because God in His character is good. And His loving kindness is everlasting. We come to Psalm 119:62. At midnight, I shall rise to give thanks to Thee because of Thy righteous ordinances. The psalmist gets up. He's thinking about God's word. Maybe you've had some things happen in your life where you get up at night and maybe you're a little troubled, but you think of God's word, His ordinance. And so the psalmist, once again, is being thankful for God's word. Psalm 79:13. So we, Thy people, and the sheep of Thy pasture, will give thanks to Thee forever. To all generations, we will tell of Thy praise. When we give thanks, we break out in worship. And when we break out in worship, we give praise to God, corporate setting. How long will we do this? We're going to do it forever. We're going to do it here. We're going to do it in our lives. We're going to do it in our time on earth. And then when we enter the kingdom, we're going to just keep right on doing it. Beloved, when you think of thanksgiving and praise, think of this as we center on Christ. Christ lived a sinless life. Christ provided the perfect sacrifice, his shed blood. Christ defeated death and was resurrected, his power. Christ is super exalted at the right hand of God the Father. And for that, it's a game changer for all of us. And for eternity, we will give thanks. And we won't be able to restrain ourselves, beloved, because as we're giving thanks in the kingdom, it'll break out into praise. And as it breaks out into praise, it's all enmeshed in this beautiful thing called worship. With my mouth, Psalm 109:30, with my mouth I will give thanks abundantly to the Lord, without measure, and in the midst of many I will praise him. And so we come to the first point of the outline. Colossians 3, and wouldn't you know, I'm just going to read the very first part of verse 12. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. Chosen. Beloved, do you realize who you are because of your faith in Jesus Christ? Do you understand your status is because you have trusted in Jesus for your salvation? You, beloved, are chosen of God. You are holy. You are beloved. John 1, verses 12 and 13, but as many as received him, Jesus, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We don't inherit salvation because our parents were Christians. It's not of the blood. We can't, through the will of other people, become Christians. The will of man cannot be exerted. I could try to persuade somebody to believe, but I can't force them to believe. And neither can you. So what are we left with? Something very wonderful. We are born of God. It is the work of God. You are here trusting in Jesus. You are a work of God. You are chosen and you are beloved. Realize your status. In 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 it says, but you, Tony, you, Gino, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you, and I hope you had that opportunity today, you will, and that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And beloved, all you got to do is think of your life to realize how great his mercy is. And so we come to the second part of the outline, the conduct and character. Verse 12 through 17, the second part of verse 12 goes like this. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another. Now, why would we have to bear with one another? Because I have irritating ways about me. Right? Yeah. I set you off sometimes, right? And you do me too sometimes, right? We bear with one another. We do. We bear with one another and we forgive each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. That's real life, guys. That's real life. That's real body life. There's going to be bumps and bruises. Why do people leave churches? Because the church isn't perfect. Their family isn't perfect. Are they going to leave their family too? You never have bumps and bruises in your family? You never have a bump and bruise with your spouse? Are you kidding? What kind of immaturity enters our head that, well, that church didn't please me. It offended me. I'm gone. Okay, well, you're going to do the same with your wife? You're going to do the same thing with your son or daughter? You're going to do the same thing with your uncle? I mean, come on. Really, grow up. That's what I would say to the wandering sheep that keep going from church to church to church to church. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful, and let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You see, this passage is very straightforward. It shows us what characterizes the body of Christ among those who belong to Christ, who have believed in Christ. It lists the characteristics and conduct that should flourish among us. This passage gives us great insight of what life in the body of Christ looks like. These are the characteristics that should thrive in every local church where Christ and the Word are honored. Our church is no exception. A number of these characteristics are the same as the list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 through 23. Notice that these characteristics are all what? These characteristics are all relational. They're all relational. They're relational terms. What one demonstrates or shows to others. Well, church for me is being by myself in the woods. Well, you can experience God alone in the woods. But where's the relational? All these terms means there's somebody else there with you, because it's a relational phenomena going on here. You're going to show compassion to a squirrel or a tree if you're out in the woods alone? Body life, family of God, chosen and beloved of God. Show compassion, kindness, and humility to others in this body. Be gentle and patient with others in this body. Bear with one another, bear with others in this body. Forgive each other in this body. Love each other in this body. Let everything pass through the filter of agape love. Let your perspective pass through the lens of agape love. The peace of Christ is to rule in your hearts. The word of Christ is to richly dwell in you. Why? Why? You were called in one body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head. We are the body. We are one body. These are relational terms. And then here it comes. Verse 15, be thankful. Verse 16, with songs of worship, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Verse 17, giving thanks through Jesus to the Father. Ah, just like the Psalms, our giving of thanks is to be directed towards God. With the dynamic of the New Testament, our thanks are directed to the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me show you something. Let's go to Ephesians. Really remarkable. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, here we go again. It kind of sounds similar to what we just read. Speaking to one another, there's relational things going on here again. Speaking to one another in what? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We just did that this morning. Singing, we did that. And making melody, we did that too. Some of us have a hard time carrying the melody, but we do, right? With your heart to the Lord. He's the object. Always, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. You want to know something about thanks? Did you know that when we give thanks, that this is a Spirit-filled activity? Did you ever think of that? Did you ever correlate that? When we give thanks, We're not to be drunk with wine. We're to be filled with the Spirit. When we are filled with the Spirit, this is a Holy Spirit activity in us, giving thanks. And notice that we give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. This giving of thanks is a Trinity thing going on. It involves all three persons of the Trinity. Filled with the Spirit, we give thanks. We do it in the name of the Lord Jesus and the Father. In the midst of body life, Christian fellowship, the family of God, in our local fellowship at TCC, through the enablement of the Holy Spirit, be thankful through Christ unto the Father. Amen. We come to a passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. You know, I have this so memorized, and of course now I'm blanking. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. There we go. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything, give thanks. Well, see, there's a key word there. Everything. Everything. See, it's easy to give thanks when everything is going our way, when everything is right, when we really are in an insulated bubble and live in the Cinderella dream and the American dream. Yeah, we can give thanks for everything. No, but that's not what this means. It can include that. The key word is everything. This can be very difficult to do when life is not cooperating and dishing out difficulties, problems, struggles, and our faith is being sorely tested. You ever had your faith sorely tested? So we come to application. In regard to all our spiritual blessings and our physical and material blessings, be thankful to God. It's an activity of the Holy Spirit, man. In the midst of problems, challenges, and difficulties, be thankful to God. This attitude of thanksgiving, of thankfulness, is nothing to be corralled or kept secret. We can express our thanks to God in the form of prayer and as a testimony, giving praise to others, and giving the credit and the glory to God. Give thanks. So here's another application. I just have to make sure I give you time to respond. So I keep checking my watch. Beloved, have you ever went to the Lord in prayer with the main idea and focus of just thanking Him? You ever done that? Perhaps even with the idea that this prayer session may completely forego or not invest much time in petitions or asking God for something. It is the idea of coming to terms with how much I can bring to mind of all that I am thankful to God for. You may be amazed how long the list can be as the Holy Spirit. It's an activity of the Spirit, beloved. You may be amazed how long the list can be as the Holy Spirit stirs our thoughts and fills our minds. Lord, I thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the cleansing of my sin, for the clothing of his righteousness to my account, and for eternal life. Jesus, thank you for the Holy Spirit, whom you sent to indwell us and to be our comforter. Dear Holy Spirit, thank you for the new birth and for your work of regeneration, the new nature born from above, a new creation. Lord, thank you for the gift of faith and for every word in the Bible that relates to this vast treasure of salvation that has come to me in Christ Jesus. Thank you for justification, sanctification, glorification, reconciliation, regeneration, propitiation, redemption, forgiveness, and cleansing from sin. Thank you, Lord, for transferring me from the darkness to the light and from being a child of wrath to a child of God. Thank you, Lord, for your word that you have given to me, that it is a light unto my path and that it is inspired and inerrant and true. Thank you for the privilege to pray and that you hear my prayers. Thank you, Jesus, for being my advocate and high priest and that you intercede for me. Thank you, Lord, for the victory you give me over the old sin nature and Satan and the spirit of this age. Thank you for my brothers and my sisters in Christ and for the privilege of fellowship and mutual accountability. Thank you, Lord, that you created me in your image and that the Holy Spirit teaches me so many things like how to pray, how to worship, how to live, how to serve. Thank you, Lord, that you've sealed me with the Holy Spirit of promise and that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Jesus, that I am a resident of the kingdom of God and that you will assign to me a new name. Thank you, Lord, for the fruit of the Holy Spirit that affects my character, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Thank you for my wife and children and my brothers and my niece and my nephew and uncle and cousins and for my Russian family. Thank you for a home, clothes, food on the table, and for physical health. Thank you for the opportunity to vote and for the freedoms that I enjoy in this nation. Thank you for a pension and for the opportunity to serve as an associate pastor at TCC. Thank you for restoring me to the ministry and allowing me to preach and teach the Word of God. Thank you for giving me faith that perseveres through all the tests, temptations, problems, struggles, and difficulties that I have encountered in this life. Whew, wait, I'm not done. Thank you for all the years you've helped me with chronic issues of depression and that through it you've given me an empathy for those who have mental illness. Thank you, Lord, for all the humbling times and when you had to apply the rod of discipline in my life to shape my character and to build empathy and mercy for others, etc., etc., etc. You know, I could have kept going with the list, and so could you. Think about it. Think about it. We have a very wonderful antidote, beloved. We have a powerful antidote for a tilted perspective. We have a powerful antidote for a tilted perspective whereby one can find oneself surrendering or giving ourselves over to chronic complaining, whining, grumbling, and just being plain ungrateful. And you know, that's nauseating to God. It really is. Just read about Israel's history when they started complaining. I have an antidote, and her name is Nadia. You know, the Russians went through a lot of tough stuff. And I know throughout my years of marriage, I don't do as much as I used to. When I start to complain or whine, Nadia is not impressed. And I go, oh, yeah. And then I think about her family and her history, and I go, oh, boy. Okay. Summary. Dear Holy Spirit, teach us and enable us to give thanks to God in an ever-growing and effective manner. Help us in a manner that is appropriate that we would cause us to break out in worship and that we will be in a very consistent manner a people who are filled and overflowing with an attitude of thankfulness. For such an attitude is ever pleasing to thee, and help us to delight in that which pleases our Lord Jesus Christ through the enablement of the Holy Spirit and to the joy of our Heavenly Father. Giving thanks is a Trinity thing. Now, beloved, hey, this is working out. Beloved, it's your turn. You now have the opportunity to give thanks to God and in the format of praise because it's public and to share what you're thankful for. And so I would just invite this time now. This is your time. This is testimony time. Who wants to share some of the things that they're thankful for as we think about this whole concept? Share, I saw share.